You are listening to the Nerd Rage Renegades podcast. Catch the show every Wednesday on Spotify, Podbean, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Another episode all recording. Recording another episode. Back in black, baby. Are you on your phone this time too?
Yes.
Let me see. I want to see something. Can you hear this?
I got my Magnum condoms. I got my Watt of hundreds.
Can you hear that?
Ready
no.
To plow.
No, I cannot.
All right. It'll have to be a thing when we get you on a computer. That might be a problem.
It'll be. Jess has got to use it for the moment, so I'll get it back eventually.
Oh man, dude! So what a week of trailers coming out, my friend. Before we get into the nitty gritty of a 6 hour long binge for you,
pretty soon to be 12 hour binge because I'm going to watch the other one
soon.
Too.
To be 12. Let's talk about Deadpool and Wolverine that the trailer dropped. The new trailer dropped. And I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I'm kind of trying to figure out what's going on. I'm guessing that this Wolverine is like a alternate universe. Yeah.
He's a variant.
We were talking about it. He's like the in Age of Ultron. They had that extra Wolverine.
Yeah.
That they had to kill in a cave.
From what I know, apparently Hugh Jackman is not only playing Wolverine, but he's also playing Patch.
Oh, really? They're going to go into that?
So they're going to go into Patch.
Well, we see a Doctor Strange portal open up in the trailer, too. So maybe Doctor Strange makes an appearance.
Well, and then you see the hideout for like Cassandra Nova is like the dead, decapitated head of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But apparently, yeah, so this is like Deadpool gets like recruited by the Time Variant authority from Loki, and he's got to save the MCU with Wolverine from Cassandra Nova, and then there's like other like they're bringing back some like they're bringing back like people from the old X-Men movies, so like Pyro,
a visibly older Wolverine too, like he's
with whiskey dick claws. He's got whiskey dick claws. But apparently this Wolverine, like, everybody in his universe, like, he failed to save his friends and they're all dead. But we get the yellow and blue suit. I just hope we get like his mask at some point. I want the big Wolverine mask. Here's what I'm thinking, right? Here's what I'm thinking is, you notice, I think everybody's noticed over the last 2 years, Marvel has not been putting out movies as regularly as they were, you know, earlier, because there's been a lot of, you know, burnout from the MCU movies. They were pushing them out too much. And in my personal opinion, they also were being very, I don't want to say safe, but like, you know, like they're bringing, like they've announced the Silver Surfer in the new Fantastic Four movie is going to be Shia LaBeouf, not Norrin Ran.
Yeah.
And that's something I've noticed with Disney MCU is, I mean, they have almost 100 years of stories that they could build from and characters, but they have to, but it's like they change characters because of Disney wanting everyone to have a trophy, I guess, you know, the biggest thing, I mean, I think it's been long enough. I don't give a shit, you know, what black, you know. The second Black Panther movie, changing Namor. Why did we need to change Namor? He was already... Namor is of Greek descent. He's Greek.
But he was Scottish, wasn't he?
Well, I think he was Scottish and Greek, because, I mean, he's from Atlantis, which is Greek. But no, he had to be Kukulkan, and he had to be Aztec now. Like, why?
I haven't even watched a Marvel movie. I didn't see the Marvels.
I didn't watch Marvels.
I didn't watch any of that other show they had, that Daredevil related show, whatever that was.
Echo?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that. Yeah. Bernthal, I guess, told him to get fucked because they wanted to Disney-fy Frank Castle.
You can't do that. So this is my major issue. This is really where I have an issue, right? Like, Disney over the last couple of years, and we see it with their live action crap. And honestly, I haven't really liked any of the live action Disney movies, except I will say this, except for Jungle Book. Because anytime I get Christopher Walken as King Louie singing "I Want to Be Like You," that's fucking gold. Okay, that is like gold on the screen.
Oh, speaking of that, you remember when around the time I think when that was coming out, they did a Jungle Book on Netflix.
Yeah,
and I mistakenly thought this was the Disney one. I didn't know, and that is such a that's a brutal ass. That's a real brutal version.
That one was with like Andy Serkis. Andy Serkis did that one. It's kind of like it's kind of the same. Like Disney brought out their live action Pinocchio with Tom Hanks, right? Where live action Pinocchio, where in that movie Pinocchio stops and smells the shit. Like he literally stops and smells horse shit.
That's I've seen that clip. Yeah,
but at the same time, Guillermo del Toro was making Pinocchio on Netflix, and that movie was like Oscar nominated.
Really?
Yeah, that movie was an Oscar nominated. I think it might have won. So, but it's the thing with Disney is where they're doing. I think they've run out of ideas.
Or they just got a lot of really bad ideas. The ideas are already written down for them. They're just not using any of them.
They're not using it. Like they remade Lion King in live action, which the reason why Lion King worked in animation is because you could put expression in animation on the faces of the animals, but they did it so realistic. There's no expression.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can't, it's just a lion and he's just talking, but it don't make no sense. It's like, I'd rather go watch Dingo Pictures. Yeah, you know, Dingo Pictures has more emotion.
Oh, it's more entertaining.
It's more entertaining. And yes, it's I did watch funny, Camelot today.
It's at least funny and not like a serious animals talking
right
movie.
Then you get all the controversy from the Snow White movie that's coming out with Rachel Ziegler or whatever her name is.
Oh yeah, the little people were mad at Dinklage, man. He shot them all in the foot. They all wanted those jobs and he
Hornswoggle went off on him. Hornswoggle went off on him, man. So but that's what I've noticed with is like Disney does all this stuff and, you know, diversity is great. But when you do diversity for diversity's sake, you know, now I don't have a dog in the fight, man. I'm a 40-year-old white guy.
Yeah.
I got a dog in this fight, you know.
There's so much other entertainment that I watch that I've given up on that. But I can't just say I've never been happy. You know, I don't even like the Batman with Michael Keaton. I don't like that movie. I never liked the costume. I always thought it was bad. I didn't like Jack Nicholson as the Joker. I'm more of a fan of the comic books themselves and then the animated ones that they like the right. DC animated universe is awesome. Batman the animated series is the best Batman you're going to get hands down. Oh, yeah. You're not going to find an actor that's going to do it better than Kevin Conroy.
No. Now I will admit the Batman, the animated show The Batman was pretty good.
It wasn't. I only saw a couple of them, but yeah, they weren't bad. I didn't like the Joker design, but other than that, it was the Batman suit was cool.
Yeah, so that the story with the characters in that one were really good, especially when you had like Robert Englund voicing Riddler and things like that, and the Riddler kind of looked like Marilyn Manson. It was really cool. It was a cool update. Yeah, the Joker being more like this like weird like more like ape-like clown looking type thing. But Kevin Michael Richardson did a really good job. Thought it was really good. Better than I'm sorry, I hated Brave and the Bold.
There's some episodes of it that were okay. Because those comics were kind of corny too. I mean
They were very corny. But I think what we get here, you know, you get Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together. That's just gold. Those two are just funny as hell together. And I think this is kind of them, like, I'm hoping this is them kind of, like, Deadpool knows the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Deadpool, he knows he's a comic book character.
Yeah, he can see the audience or whatever. He talks
Yeah.
directly to the audience.
So I'm hoping this is kind of like their way of like, because it is a rated R. It's like the first rated R MCU movie, and it is part of the MCU. I'm hoping this is kind of like a reboot kind of a thing, which is kind of I hope they're doing, because
No
other than the
cable,
fact
though.
that,
We're getting no cable at all in this one.
well, yeah, no Cable. Shatterstar is in it. Shatterstar is in it,
Oh, they bring the
and
entire all the X-Force guys from the second one. They're
yeah.
all back in
But according to Feige, they can't talk about cocaine. It's like the
it.
one thing they can't do is cocaine. Everything else is on the table. You know, I mean, Wolverine,
They
you're, I
directly
mean,
mention it though in
yeah.
the
Do you want to build a snowman? Yes, but I can't. So I'm
trailer.
hoping this kind of, I mean, it looks good. It looks good. It looks like what we want from a movie as with Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yeah, if they just them kicking ass for 2 hours would be good. I mean, that's what you.
I
I was
mean,
actually kind of hoping they were gonna do, it would have been cool to see it was a more recent story. I think Jerry Duggan wrote it, but it was one that I really liked where he went to. They found out that Deadpool was being taken for body parts. They were knocking him out and stealing his body parts and using them to make clone X-Men over in like North Korea, and he ended up getting they kidnapped him and took him to North Korea, and it was Wolverine and Captain America had to go into North Korea to rescue Deadpool, and that's when he found out about his daughter, and the guy had his daughter kidnapped or whatever, and
Like,
he wasn't gonna fight. Oh, he also had that weird the ghost of that SHIELD agent in his brain.
his brain. Yeah,
It
yeah,
was a really weird storyline.
Well, what I'm hoping is, you know, like with Deadpool and Deadpool 2 at the end, like, you know, he goes and he kills Ryan Reynolds before he can do Green Lantern, and he kills the other Deadpool and X-Men Origins Wolverine. He's basically fucked the timelines. Deadpool has fucked all the timelines. So that's where I think this works with the time variant, you know, the TSA or whatever, TVA, coming in to get him, is because he has already fucked up the timelines.
Well, I mean that he's a pretty important character, really, in the fact that he wasn't. Didn't he figure out Original Sin? I thought he was the one that figured it out.
I think
What
he did.
was going on? Because
Yeah.
his other personality, the Zen pool, when he built the Zen garden in his backyard, but his weird, crazy brain was like, "You don't do this. You should be stabbing your neighbor right now for yelling at you." Like
Yeah.
you don't build Zen gardens and say polite stuff. And like somehow his crazy brain figured it out.
We are getting Dogpool in the movie.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Dogpool's
We are
one
getting
of my
Dogpool.
head
You know,
pool.
and
I
I
have
think it's
the
cool that they
zombie
brought,
head.
you know, I think it's cool the villain is Cassandra Nova. So that's kind of cool. And she looked like Cassandra Nova. The actress they got seems to be pretty good. So I'm kind of excited for this. Plus I love it that, you know, the trailer was, I mean, it's released everywhere, you know, that people get it you on YouTube, but Ryan Reynolds releases it himself on his own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
The
Oh, I
man is
mean
a treasure.
the first two are, I don't know. The only way it's going to be fucked up is a Disney interfering, because the first two are two of the best superhero movies ever made. The Deadpool 1 and 2 are almost perfect in what they did. The way they did the implied Marvel universe with the Helicarrier and just him popping by the X Mansion. And like that and these X-Men in training and like that was great. It's like, why don't
Highway,
they make
hi
all of them like
Yukio.
that?
I just love Yukio. Hi Yukio.
They got the
Yukio,
costume right.
Yukio is like the saving grace of that whole of everything. Yukio is the greatest character ever.
For once you got a guy playing a character where he doesn't need to have his real face out. Like every Spider, what drives me crazy about every Spider-Man movie, Tobey Maguire through every Garfield, everybody. At some point, they just rip their mask off and they're just Peter Parker with the Spider-Man suit on because they got to have their actor face on the screen. Like Ryan Reynolds is the first guy that just leaves the mask on the whole movie, just gets by on the voice.
I will counter that with Dread.
Yeah, oh yeah, Carl Urban. That movie's great
Carl
too.
Urban Dread.
There's
which
a
was
few
a damn
movies
good
that are
movie,
just
and we never got a sequel to that shit.
No, I almost kind of wish we don't ever get one because it stands alone and it's classic.
It's a great. I mean, if you think about like the two Dread movies we got, we had one where he rarely wore the helmet with Sylvester Stallone because once, like you said, actor face, we gotta have Stallone's face. But Carl Urban, all you got was like under the like below the nose and chin, and mouth. That's all you got, and he conveyed everything through just that freaking face.
I don't know like what the budget was for each of those, but I'm guessing that even though Dread was a newer, I bet it had a lower budget than the Stallone
it flew
one.
Under
and
the radar.
It's 1,000 times better than that Stallone piece of shit.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that one I remember what like I didn't know it came out in theaters, but then I saw it for like to rent back in the day when rentals were still a thing. And I was like, holy shit, there's a Dread movie? And nobody told me? Where have I been? You know? But that one I would put... So when it comes to, like, comic book movies, I would put that up there in, like, for me, top 10 of any comic book film because of what it did. I would also put the original Hellboy up there. Not the new Hellboy, the original Guillermo del Toro Hellboy.
Yeah, and both of those are great.
Yeah, the first two. They fucked it up with that new one that they came out with. They fucked that shit up.
We had to come up with a list of actual good superhero movies.
That's
Unbreakable and Glass, I think, are two really good ones.
Yeah. Would you put Split in there?
Yeah, it's kind of...
Bridges the gap between Glass and Unbreakable, and Split
was
amazing.
I considered it more of a horror movie, though.
More of a horror movie.
Between two action superhero movies. The Thomas Jane Punisher, I think, is good, even though Travolta's in it.
That is good. Thomas Jane was good.
The little short film he did with what's his name, with Ron Perlman, the little short Punisher film that he made.
That was even better.
That's better than any of them.
You know, I would have to put the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action film, because say what you will, that was more akin to comic than it was.
That was not that
like
was
the animated. The first one. The first one. I thought was good. I mean, I'm not really putting the MCU stuff in like my runnings, unless
Iron Man is great. The first Iron Man is awesome. Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War are both fucking great. Civil War is amazing. I think Civil War is the best when you get Spider-Man popping in.
Yeah. Civil War was, of all the Captain America, Civil War was the best. I'm going to put Werewolf by Night on there.
That was really good, too, with the man
thing. I thought they did an amazing job with that.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, is good, too.
First one is good. I'm trying to think outside the Marvel Universe, too.
Man of Steel. I still think I think the Snyderverse is fucking great. I don't care what anybody says. I think Man of Steel
the Snyder cut was great.
Man of Steel is still the best Superman movie ever made.
The Batman, the Chris Pattinson one.
That one's pretty good.
Sin City, the original, the first Sin City movie, not the sequel, but the first Sin City movie.
You know what? I don't know. I honestly don't think I've ever seen the whole thing all the way through. I've only seen
that
bits
one
and pieces
was good.
Of it.
And you know, I know people hate the film. I mean, people hate the film. I still go and watch League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like The Mummy. It's like just a goofy movie you can watch all
it's
the
a
time.
Goofy movie.
Van Helsing's like that, too. It's all in that same world.
It's like, I just watch it. It's fun. You know, it's just a fun thing to watch. From Hell was another one I really enjoyed.
Watchmen was fucking great.
Watchmen was good.
Everybody complained about the squid thing not being in, but who gives a shit? It was really good. The way my comic guy Mike put it, he said it was as good as any human being could have made The Watchmen into a movie. He's like, he doesn't think it necessarily was perfect, but no one else is going to do a better job on it than Snyder.
You know what? We're missing the greatest of them all, and that's Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
Of course, Steel. We forgot.
We Steel, Supergirl. Got to have, Supergirl.
I highly recommend, if you haven't done this, to go get the Djibouti Show commentary track for Steel with Shaq and watch it along. It is really funny. That was back when Damon was still on there, and it was really, really good.
Like, oh, you know, I would put Blade, the first two Blades.
Oh yeah,
on that as great.
I don't think
movies.
The third one's that bad. I think that guy, that actor's kind of a goofball, but I kind of like the third one. I didn't, Hannibal King's
I mean,
in
and
it.
The third one had Ryan Reynolds in it.
Yeah,
did have Ryan Reynolds.
He's been in a lot of superhero movies.
I mean, well, you think about it, at that time, people didn't know that Blade was a Marvel character when that came out.
That's all Wesley Snipes should be thanked for bringing that character out, because a lot of people had never even heard of him.
Yeah, because up until that point, I mean, superhero movies were like, they weren't big box office. Like, even the first couple X-Men were not, I mean, they made money, but they weren't like humongous box office. Yeah.
Well, The Crow was kind of it kind of gained its traction later on.
Yeah, the new one, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about the new one. It looks great.
It's Sparky.
Oh, I hear it. But I don't know. So, but you know what was funny the other night, right? So the other night, it was Saturday night. And I was flipping channels. And I got to one of the HBO channels. And they were actually playing the old David Lynch Dune.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to watch that one, too. And I pretty much forbade it, though, because the only good part to watch is Sting, because they get that movie so wrong.
So we were So my girlfriend was watching it with me, right? And now she had gone with me to see Dune Part 2. And the first thing she said when she watched when I turned on the movie, and I turned it on, and it was like, it was already like 20, 30 minutes in. But she goes, "Is that Sting?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Sting." And so we're watching it, and she's like, "So this is when they did X, Y, and Z." I'm like, "Yeah, the thing is, here they did it in like a minute and 20 seconds, where it took them 2 hours to say the same thing in the one that we saw." She's like, "Oh, that's why this seems like it's going so fast." I'm like, "Yeah, because it's not, you know, they don't take 30 minutes to talk about something that happens for like 20 seconds." So you finally saw Dune Part 2.
Yeah, here's what I think. I think that it's good. I think that they hit all the main points of the story. But there's characters that weren't in it that I thought should have been in it. Like Othium, I think, was one of Paul's right-hand guys. And I think he offers to fight Fade instead of Paul at the end.
Mm.
And then you have the sister, Alia, was a little kid at the time of that attack. This is just differences. It's not necessarily important. But they didn't blow. I don't think they blew up the city of Arrakeen, because that was like a lot of Fremen lived in that city. So I don't think that they would have blown that up.
Right.
But what I think is, in 6 hours, for anybody that doesn't know, Sci-Fi Channel years and years ago made a 6-hour Dune miniseries that ran on Sci-Fi Channel. And besides the fact that the special effects are really outdated, and they did a lot of it on sets and stuff, it is a fantastic telling of Dune. It nails everything. And it's in the same, pretty much the same running time as the part one and two of the new Dune. And I think you got, with the new ones, with all the special effects and the big long shots of like stadiums and cool special effects shots, there was a lot of story that they didn't put in there. And so they sacrificed some things and jumped ahead with some things for I think for more aesthetic reasons rather than I think you get it gets a, an A plus for casting. I think everybody cast in the new Dune is perfect. It gets an A plus for the visual look of it. And like it really feels like the book Dune. It's just so foreign and alien, and everything is even the music is so weird, and all the ships and all the weird things the Harkonnens are into. Like all that stuff is dead on, but I think it where it fell down was the script for it. I think they eliminated some things, and some things if you hadn't read it or know somebody who's read it and kind of can decipher what's going on, I think some people would be confused by it. Wait, because it jumps when he's supposed to go out for the night with the tent and he finds Chani in the desert and then it like flashes forward where they've been together for weeks or months or something. And it's like it's almost like it's still that same night. I mean, there's some weird scene changes in it that I think so, throw like, you off.
I mean, it's like Jessica gives birth to Alia after she drinks the water of life.
Yeah. But and
Alia actually like she grows faster, but her knowledge is bigger because being you know that Jessica drank the water of life while she was still pregnant with Alia. Alia kind of absorbs that knowledge as well.
Yeah, but she ages at a normal rate in the story. She's well, a real it, like, little. They're in the desert little, for years. Like they're fighting the Harkonnens for years. It's kind of like with Lord of the Rings, the way they jump. You know, Lord of the Rings takes place over. How many years is it in the book? I don't like
it's 10 plus years.
It's a really long time that the War of the Ring goes on. And they condense that to like within like a year's time or something for the movie. And I think they kind of did that with Dune a little bit because with what they could do, the third part could save the whole thing because the third part's where you get Duncan Idaho comes back and you get the twins are born. And Alia, it's going to jump forward where Alia is already older. That's how she's going to come into
and
it.
That would be Heretic of Dune, correct? That's Heretic of Dune.
Children of Dune, I think, is it Heretic the third? Second
it goes Dune, Heretic, Children, and then God Emperor, right?
The first, they're going to have to do two more movies at least because it's two more books.
And, you got to do the rest of Paul's story, and then going into Leto the Second.
Yeah, which I highly recommend. If you haven't seen this, go see the sci-fi miniseries Children of Dune, which has James McAvoy. He plays the God Emperor in that. You get your first glimpse of the God Emperor. He puts on the trout skin. He's starting to morph into the worm in that one. So I would highly recommend that movie to anybody because it's great. Both I think the sci-fi Dune and Children of Dune, it's like 12 hours, but it's worth every second of it. It tells the story perfectly, really.
So one of the things that we talked about off camera is the change of Chani. Because Chani was always she followed Paul no matter what.
Yeah, that's the weird animosity at the end of it. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Now I wonder if that was changed once again because it's 2024. We can't have a character that just blindly follows and then agrees to be a concubine instead of a queen. But that's how it, you know, as we know, Paul tells him, you know, this will be my wife, but Chani is my queen.
Yeah, he doesn't. He makes it no secret that it's a political move. Like he's like, this is the way it's going to be. And in this, it's like, he doesn't tell her they don't discuss any of that. She's just mad at him. It's like, what are you mad about? He just freed your people forever. Like you were fighting for freedom against the Harkonnens for decades and decades. And this guy comes along and guarantees you freedom for your people and your way of life to be restored and your people taken care of. And there's not going to be another house that comes there and torments them. That's it. Like the Fremen is now in control of Dune.
Yeah.
And she storms off like she's mad at it. I just did not get that at all. Like she's definitely a more mature character in the book And in the other movie too, the sci-fi version.
Now, like, I enjoyed Dune Part 2. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. Did I think I needed to be high as fuck to watch it? Yes, because, I mean, a lot of it felt like you had to be high as shit.
Well, Chani in the movie, the sci-fi movie, she's still an intensely fierce warrior woman. Yeah. They don't diminish her character at all in that by making her... She believes Paul's the Messiah, and they don't diminish her character at all. In fact, the part... In this, I don't know if people will get this, but there's a whole succession of these guys that keep coming to challenge Muad'Dib because he hasn't called out Stilgar to become the leader of the siege. And he refuses to do it because he thinks it's stupid to kill your best warriors just to prove some kind of, you know, whatever tribal custom. And these guys keep coming to attack him because they're trying to challenge him and force him to challenge Stilgar. But Chani keeps killing them. They keep coming up, and she kills him, and he comes along and is like, "What?" And she's like, "This guy wasn't worthy of you, so I killed him." And so, and she would do that a lot throughout the story. But she wasn't just a blind follower of him. It was more like she knew it was true. She knew what he was saying was the real deal. And she was "I'm all down for that."
They kind of swap that. I mean, because. In part two, I mean, Stilgar is very much, he is the one. And that was kind of like, Chani was the same way in the book. You know, he is the one. Now, you recently seeing it, and this just popped into my mind, the pacing at times I felt was a little off. So, you know, there was Chani and that other Fremen girl that they were like, oh, he's not, you know, look at these people blindly following him, you know, and praying and all that. Right. And then they showed Fade bombing the Fremen hideout. And that girl is there and she gets killed. But it was like, it happened real quick. And it didn't really say like what was going on.
Yeah. You didn't see how any of that happened. It? Yeah. No, they didn't. That's why I thought that I don't think the script, I think maybe they tried to rush putting it out.
Yeah,
because it was out really. It seems like it's out really quick, and I think they rushed it. Hopefully, they'll turn it around for the third one. Because I mean, they did hit all the points in it. I didn't like that they said Fade was another prospect for Kwisatz Haderach. That wasn't true. He was like a foppish, like pretty boy, psychotic murderer, and he was not like. In with the witches,
yeah,
and
the Bene Gesserit.
And there's like a lot of characters. They, like I said, like Othium's not in it. Like Count Finring's not in it. There's a lot of characters that they did include in the Sci-Fi Channel version with the same running time. So figure it is they sacrificed a lot of that story for some of the big effects shots and some of the like long speeches and stuff.
Well, they didn't have the, what are they, though? The ones that make the, you know, interstellar travel like possible.
The navigators. They didn't show a navigator.
Didn't show the navigators. Kind of the way David Lynch did it, too, it was kind of like you're going through the story. You have the first part. You go through the story. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's Gurney Hackett. There's Gurney. Because that's how they did in, like, the David Lynch version is they're, you know, they're having the battle. And all of a sudden, there's Patrick Stewart. And he's just like, Paul? And they hug. But then it's like glossed over again. This one, they gave Gurney a little bit more afterwards. But it's kind of like, you know, I want to know if there's a director's cut. I want to know if there's
a director's cut. That's exactly what I told Jess last. We watched it again. I've seen it twice now. And I said, I want to know if there's a longer version of this, because there's a lot of stuff that they've jumped from scene to scene, and it's like I want to like it real bad because it is a beautiful movie. It does, like, just the look of it is Dune. Beautiful. Everything about it is Dune, and it looks great, but just the way they told the story, just it jumped through everything so fast. Like, and they also, he had another son. He had another son named Leto. Mm-hmm. And which is why he named the when they had the twins, he named the other one Leto 2, because he had one, and the Harkonnen, the when they attacked the siege, like in the movie, hit Paul and Chani's baby was in there, and they killed the baby, and he knew it when they did it, and which also helped drive his rage at the Harkonnens. But they totally eliminated that baby. So I'm wondering if she's not pregnant with the twins already.
Yeah.
At the end of this one.
Because it did. It ended so abruptly. Her just like going off, getting on a sandworm and just riding out. You know, there was that, and it just ended. You know.
Yeah. The character and his mother was really like wickedy. Kind of like she wasn't like that at all in the story.
No, so they change. I mean, I understand changing stuff, adapting, but when you're doing something like Dune, and especially when you talk about Dune, I mean, you're talking about a sci-fi epic that while it is known, I don't think outside of the sci-fi community, you know, if you want to talk about like. If you talk about like just the general movie going public, they're not really going to understand everything about Dune. So like when we saw part one and we saw the ships and they were like dragonflies, just like it says in the book, we're nerding out about it. We are loving it because it's like, oh, this is, you know, this was in the book. It's not just like it. The average moviegoer is not going to know jack squat about Frank Herbert's Dune.
Some people, that's one of those books that a lot of people, they know of it and they kind of know a little bit about the story, but a lot of people, I don't think a ton of people have read the whole thing or read, like I read the whole series past like the one that his son finished for him, because they had the seventh book, I think,
yeah,
that he had half finished, and his son and Brian Herbert and another guy finished that one. Which it gets weird. It gets really weird.
I mean, it's the same way with like Tolkien. Like, so people like you and I, we know about Children of Húrin, the Fall of Gondolin, you know, the Fall of Numenor. We know about all these things with the First Age and the Second Age because we've read it. We've read Silmarillion, the Unfinished Tales.
Yeah.
The average moviegoer, when they go to the movies, they don't know all that stuff when they go see Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, or those who watch The Rings of Power, like we'll watch Rings of Power and we'll be like, wait a minute, because they only can use the appendices. The average person is not going to know it. So it's one of those hit or miss things where you could have all the shots and the special effects. But I think with part two, they could, and I'm strictly speaking, you know, my girlfriend was with me. She knew nothing of Dune, absolutely nothing. Now, she did say, you know, I had questions, but they would answer them. They did a good job of answering questions for the general movie-going audience that has no idea. But I think the pacing was a little quick. That's why I wonder if it's kind of like Justice League. That movie was so quick and spliced together, whereas then when you watch the Snyder Cut, things make more sense.
Yeah.
So and I'm wondering if there's
you get to see Darkseid, which... Awesome. Yeah.
You saw Darkseid, you know, there was all this other stuff. So is
and
there more to this? Is and I mean, why they didn't have Ed Asner and Drag to play Granny, you know, Granny Goodness at the end, you know, that could have been his last role.
I'm really, really hoping that they plan on taking this past the third or the at least the Atreides story. Because, yeah. I mean, it's essentially all a Atreides story, even when it's Duncan Idaho, because it's... With God Emperor, though, I guess if people are... If the next one goes over well, then they'll probably push on and make God Emperor, but that one's going to get so strange. That one you do got to watch high. There's a lot of talking in it. I mean, there's not a lot of action.
It's a lot of reminiscing. It's a lot of his telling the story of these thousands and thousands of years.
It's my favorite book by far of all of them. But it is so strange. And if you don't Like if, yeah, it's like if you don't, if you go into that one cold, there's no way you're gonna know what's going on. There's gonna be a big worm and a bunch of Duncan Idahos, and it's him having conversations with like Julius Caesar and Hitler and all kinds of like figures, the military figures from Earth's past, and
it gets weird. It's one of those things where, like, I equate this because I, like I said, I thought it was a good movie. I really did enjoy part two. I had issues with it, but I enjoyed it. But talking about, like I said, the normal movie going public and what they want, first of all, people aren't really going to the movies much.
No, this was out really fast on, out on real, streaming.
Because I mean, I had seen it, like 3 weeks ago or something like that. And then 2 weeks later, it's out on Amazon.
Yeah, I didn't even know when it was. I just one day said, hey, Dune is on here. I was like, let's get it.
It's because a lot of people aren't going to the theater anymore. And theater prices are taking a hit because of it. You know, I mean, it's the same with COVID. People weren't going to we couldn't go to the movies. People are now used to just sitting at home. And people would rather sit at home to see if, because they can be in the comfy, you know, they can be in their pajamas or nude or whatever you want.
Well, you know me, I've had
a
problem with the theater for years. I mean,
I mean, there's the classic story of the girl with the light up shoes and you were just losing your mind.
Yeah, I mean, this first Star Wars movie that actually looks good in like 30 years, and I'm trying to, this girl's kicking her feet with light up shoes on.
Now, here's the thing. Phantom Menace, it's like the 25th anniversary this year of Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I've been.
And they're bringing it back into theater. How does it feel, man? Because I know you were there. I was there when Phantom Menace came out, and now it's a 25-year anniversary of Phantom Menace.
Two generations of Star Wars fans between us and the people that saw the original ones to what's coming out now. There's been like two or three generations of kids now.
Yeah. But I still want to go see Phantom Menace again in theater. Because I like Phantom Menace.
I thought it was hilarious that there were people camped out to see that when it was coming out in the theater.
Yeah.
And people were like camping out forever to get tickets to it. And literally opening day, me and Jess walked up to the theater, just walked right in.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I went in full like Jedi robes with a lightsaber, just like everybody else. You know,
I was very excited to see it.
I did, and I had fun with it. I'm thinking of going to see it. Plus, this year also they're doing Ghibli Fest again with Studio Ghibli, and all those movies like Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service, Howl's Moving Castle. They did it last year, where once a month they would bring like a different Studio Ghibli movie into theaters. They're doing it again this year.
Princess Mononoke was always my favorite one of those.
I love Princess Mononoke. I like Ponyo. Ponyo, Ponyo.
Yeah, I've seen them all. I really dig that animation. Me and Jess used to read them every time.
The Secret World of Arrietty.
The Moving Castle is great, too. I like that one.
Moving Castle is so good. So every month until like December, for like a couple of days, it's not like a week-long thing. It's only for like a couple of days, but they'll be playing a different film. In select theaters, it's like one of those Fathom events, so you can go see that.
I'd like to see Mononoke in IMAX. That would be cool to see.
That would be good. I'll look to see when that's playing, because I know like I took the kids last year to see Kiki's Delivery Service, and it was really cool seeing that on the big screen and hearing Phil Hartman again. Yeah. And hearing Phil Hartman on the big screen, it was like, Phil, I miss you. Phil was so good. But I mean, this year we're getting some good movies. Like we're getting Furiosa, because I know you're going to be excited for Furiosa.
I keep forgetting about all the movies I do want to see. I'm usually so down on movies.
You got Furiosa. You got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that one too. That one looks good too.
I love me a good Kingdom of the Apes movie. What was that one you sent me, Abigail? Like the ballerina vampire.
Yeah, I can't. That was one that I said I can't decide if this is really going to be good or if it's going to be just corny as hell because the dialogue seemed pretty corny. But
I saw something.
The concept was cool though, because they were like going to kidnap a kid, and it's a vampire.
Yeah, So I saw the trailer like that you sent, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be corny, if it's going to be cool. But this is, I saw something. Now, I don't know if this is true. I have to look it up, but there might be a new Freddy movie or something coming out.
DJ Qualls playing Freddy. I saw something. I saw like a picture, but I didn't know if it was for real or not.
See, I get so fucked up because on Facebook, there's a thing that that always pops up and I kind of follow it. Hello, doggy.
It's Libby.
There's a doggy deer.
All right, Libby.
But it's like alternate reality. And it's like, oh, in my reality, we got this movie back in 1986, you know, and it was like the Sergeant Slaughter movie, or it was like Thundercats, and they use like AI to make it, or
oh, yeah.
In 1954, we got this Super Mario movie, and it was made like with all AI, and it's like 50s style, like looks like Wizard of Oz, but it's like Mario. I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know what's real anymore. Like I said, I think these are true. I think these actually happen in alternate realities. The Hadron Collider is just finally making it real.
AI to me looks like pictures of my nightmares. To me, it just doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
It looks so strange. Like it'll look real but not real, and it's just like what I see in my nightmares.
I've done AI art of like my original character for like RP. And I'll look at the pictures and I'm like, oh, these look really good. But then I'll like look at the hand and they only have like four fingers, or like one finger is like all the side.
All the words are messed up.
It's funky. It's fucking funky, man. But just, I mean, trying to figure out what to watch lately has been like the biggest thing. Because
YouTube,
I like the movies.
Is my friend. I love YouTube.
Oh! Okay, so this is something I wanted to talk about. So I have recently added, and I'm my fingers are like Eddie Murphy. It's like, oh my God, let's go. Listen, I know how you do that. It was great. I added two new streaming services to my repertoire. The first is Crunchyroll. Now, Crunchyroll's been around for a while, but Funimation merged with Crunchyroll, so I now own Crunchyroll, so I can get all my animes. But I got the Gizmoplex.
I don't know what that is.
That is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 app.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So the way it works, all the Joel and Mike Nelson episodes are free. The newer episodes are the ones you pay like $4.99 a month for, right? And you get them all. But so all the original, and I'm talking all the way back to the original season one. So the original, like the originals. And then when they got, you know, then like the, you know, you had the Comedy Central episodes. And then when they went to sci-fi, all of those are free except for the ones that they have lost the licensing for.
You can get all of them on YouTube. All of, every one of them, even KTMA, the public access season, they don't have any of the new ones are what you're paying for, really, because the new ones are they're still producing those, and they're doing different movies. But all the old Mike and Joel, going all the way back to KTMA, there's different lists on YouTube, and you can literally watch all of them. They even got Gamma versus Gauss and all that shit on there.
So on the Gizmoplex, they start at season one, but it's episode 22. So I think this is after KTMA, because the first one is The Crawling Eye.
Yeah, that's the Comedy Channel, whatever. That's the first one.
Right. So then you have season two. Now in season two, this is what they say. The licensing rights for the following movie titles are no longer available. Rocket Ship XM, Godzilla versus Megalon, and Godzilla versus the Sea Monster. So apparently the licensee rights for like those, they don't have anymore. So they still have them like on the list, but you can't watch them.
You can watch the ones that on the YouTube has those. And I think the way they get away with it is because they're recorded episodes from the original broadcast. So if you've recorded it on VHS and then transferred it, you can put it up on YouTube, because Joel Hodgson has always been pro tape trader and recording this. So they've never been litigious about that. They've always allowed the tape traders and the DVD traders to work unabated. So you can still get Godzilla vs. Megalon on YouTube, I'm pretty sure, because of that, because it's a transfer from a VHS.
Yeah, so like they have season three, but you don't get the Amazing Colossal Man or It Conquered the World. But season three, you get Gamera, you get Gamera versus Baragon, Gamera versus Gaios, Gamera versus Giren, Gamera versus Zygra.
Yeah, they did a lot of Gamera back in the day.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Viking Women and the Sea Serpent, The Castle of Fu Manchu, Master Ninja 2. So what I like about this, now I tried getting this on the Roku TV, but I couldn't. And I don't know if that's because there's already a channel on Roku for it or whatever. But I
There's a Mystery Science Theater channel in there, isn't there? I think on Roku has it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason I got this on my phone is like at night I'll put it on my phone and that's usually what I fall asleep to. I'll find one and I'll fall asleep to it. But you do have on here, you know, so basically it says new episodes all year long, $4.99, past live streams on demand. So like the live streams that they do, you have the classic Mystery Science Theater, watch for free. You have the return in 2017 when they came back. So these, I think are the Netflix episodes. So like Reptilicus, Cry, Wilderness, The Time Travelers, Beast of Hollow Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, I own all those because I was part of the crowd fund for that season, so yeah. I actually own all of those digitally somewhere.
And then you have the Gauntlet from 2018, so you have like Mac and Me, Atlantic Rim, Lords of the Deep, Killer Fish. But I like the fact, you know, I used to on my phone, I used to watch it on Tubi. Because Tubi's got most of the old episodes as well. But they, you know, Tubi is commercial. So, but trying to find those new things to watch, like at night, I know you listen to weird stuff going to sleep too. You're like me.
You gotta
listen to something weird going to sleep.
So I usually watch Charlie Chan movies.
Oh, I gotta love a good Charlie Chan.
I love Sidney Toler, Charlie Chan. Not any of the other. I love Sidney Toler. He's the only one I like.
Yeah. So I've been on this channel. It's called Sleepy Nights, and it's this guy, and of course, you know, it's a sleepy thing. So it's got like the ambiance music in the background, and he talks real soft like this, but he has like, I think they're like original stories that he kind of like writes. I think it's like fan fiction stories that he writes.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a few guys that I listen to like that, like horror stories and stuff.
So he's got like, he does like Tolkien stories with hobbits or Star Trek or One Piece or mythology, but it's like you get like 45 minute story and then it's like 6 hours of just ambiance music for you to sleep to. Dude, I'm knocked out within like 20 minutes listening to this guy.
I like to find an old book, like me and Jess, we were putting on we listened to all of Frankenstein, the audiobook for Frankenstein, and then we listened to the whole audiobook for Dracula. Mm-hmm. And you can get all that shit's on YouTube. That's why I love YouTube. It's like the only thing I watch anymore. I watch that, and I watch Sidney Toler, Charlie Chan. I watch the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes. I watch the Ronald Howard Sherlock Holmes. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes guy. I watch all the Sherlock Holmes. But, there's so many things on there on YouTube. You can find practically any audiobook that there is. Listen to it. Well, even when we were at when we went to C2E2, I listened to Lovecraft, the entire Cthulhu mythos in my headphones at night.
Which C2E2 is next month, man. We gotta get back there at some point. I miss that shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it. I've barely seen any advertising. I saw that some people were getting banned from there or something. Everybody was pissed off.
I know. I have no idea. I know.
I'm so out of the loop. I don't know.
Well, I know Doug and Brad are gonna be there. That's how I found out about it, because Doug and Brad are going to be there. But it's I got nothing to rant about today. I'm actually in a damn good mood, man, because tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, which if you're listening to it, that's today. I'm on a golf course all day, bruh.
for
my day job. For my day job, I get to go to a golf course. There's an event going on, and I get to go to a golf course all damn day.
You get to play?
Yeah. I'm probably going to get to play, man.
Oh, that's great.
I should bring a hockey jersey and just go full Happy Gilmore on the bullshit. But I've got, like... You took it for your home? Get, fuck you, Paul! But then next month, I've got Renaissance Fair coming up. And you know I love me a good Renaissance Fair.
Oh, yeah. You got to get a turkey leg.
Get a turkey leg. One year, I probably will pull, like, a Sheldon and go dress as, like, a Star Trek character and be like...
Tricorder.
I'll go with a tricorder. I saw a clip from Big Bang Theory today, and I forgot about it, but it's the clip where Amy tells Sheldon that Indiana Jones is actually not important to the plot of Raiders of the Lost Ark whatsoever.
That's true, because they don't do anything. They get tied up.
She puts it, without Indy, the Nazis would still find the Ark of the Covenant, take it to the island, open it, and die. So even without Indy, the ending would still happen the way it happened. And it makes you go, wait a minute.
It does make sense. He actually facilitates it to happen faster is what he does. He helps the Nazis find it quicker.
That is true.
Because they might not have ever found it. They had the wrong staff and everything, so they might not have ever found it.
Yeah, they might not have. But that'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week with Panda. Don't know what we're talking about. As always, it's whatever comes to the forefront.
Oh, something will happen in the next week.
Oh, well, OJ died this past week.
That's right.
The juice is no longer loose.
He's roasting in hell as we speak.
Well, he's roasting. If he was roasting in hell, this is how he would be roasting. Remember, if the pitchfork don't fit, you must acquit. And those weren't isotoners either. Those were not isotoners.
No.
I was remembering, I was talking about that with my dad the other day. I was like, I remember, you know, because I'm a little younger than y'all. In school, they were showing that.
OJ? The trial?
The OJ trial. They were showing it in school, man. I was in middle school when that trial was going on.
What year was it? I don't even remember what year. Oh,
God. What year? Early 90s?
Yeah, I was 93? I was 93 the year I graduated high school, so.
Hold on. Let me see. When was the OJ trial? Because I remember my grandmother would have that on every goddamn day. 94.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The trial spanned 11 months from November 94 till October 3rd of 95.
That was a very good year. I saw Pink Floyd that year.
So I remember that being in, we would watch that in the classroom. That was like the big news.
Really?
Yeah, they would have it on. And then, like, I would come home and my grandmother would have it on 24 hours a day. You know, like. But the juice is dead. The juice has been squeezed.
Nordberg.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so weird when you watch The Naked Gun when he's when it shows OJ creeping around with the gloves and the like in the burglar outfit. It's like, oh my God.
It's one of those things. It's kind of like you can't go watch like anything old Bill Cosby because you just see it.
Yeah.
Creepy. Like you can't watch Ghost Dad, you know, because you know what you know what he did.
Ghost Rupees. Like,
you can't watch it, man. It's like they're all dead. Except, you know, Bill Cosby did this, and OJ did that, and Kirstie Alley ate Shelley Long, and that's why she left Cheers and.
Yeah, but Bill Cosby never made a good movie. I can't think of any good movies. He had a hit TV show. He was a well-known stand-up comedian. He was on a lot of TV shows going all the way back into the 60s and stuff. But I don't recall. He's never made a good movie.
Yeah, hold on. I'm pulling.
Maybe
up,
in the
I'm
70s he did. There might be some old 70s movie he was in. It was good.
Hold on. I'm pulling up his filmography. Works. Here we go. Bill Cosby.
The only one I can remember is Ghost Dad and Leonard Part 6. And that's what I'm judging it on.
okay. So we had The Devil and Max Devlin.
Yeah, I guess that one's that one was okay. Leonard I saw that in a theater. What year was that? What was The Devil in the Next Devil? What year?
That was 81.
Yeah, I saw that. My sister took me to see that. I saw it in a theater.
Ghost Dad. It was a Meteor Man with Robert Townsend.
I don't remember him being in that.
He
I remember
in the
movie, that
movie,
but I don't remember Cosby being in it.
Yeah, Cosby was in Jack with Robin Williams.
Really? I don't remember that either.
Yeah. And of course, he was in Fat Albert.
Yeah, well, he's not starring in any of these. Like,
No.
Like, he does cameos and some of them.
Television, his first thing was I Spy from 65 to 68.
Yeah, with the Robert
He didn't get. Oh, well, then he got the Bill Cosby show from 69 to 71. But then he didn't.
Fucking picture pages.
Because he had he had the Bill Cosby show. Then he had the new Bill Cosby show. Then he had the Cosby show. Then he had Cosby.
Everything was just him.
He had the Cosby mysteries.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Cosby mysteries that we didn't get to hear about on that show.
Yeah, there was a lot of mysteries we didn't know. I mean, Dr. Huxtable, he was giving out medications he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
You know. In 2014, he was going to have a stand-up comedy film called Cosby 77, but they never released it. They canceled it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at his stuff, the most that we remember Cosby for, besides Fat Albert, was just that he always had a show called The Cosby Show.
It's just Cosby. Reboot that.
It was just Cosby Show. Now I remember the one in 96. Like, I remember the one in 96 because Madeline Kahn was in it. And I remember her because, you know, she did all the stuff with Mel Blanc, or not Mel Blanc, with Mel Brooks. And then I always see on Facebook, I see Wrath of, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Madeline Kahn. So I see like that shit. But, God damn. Like, I want to do like a deep dive into all the old stuff that we grew up on that we just did not age well. Because there's a lot of shit that did not age well. And we cannot, you look at it now and you're like,
there's a lot of it that wasn't good then. It was just what we had. That's like I've been said for years. Everybody complained about the CGI Hulk in the Avengers and saying, "Oh, it looks so bad." Like, do you realize that we just had to pretend Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk? Like, you could tell it's just a green dude. I knew the Hulk sucked when I was a kid. It was just the
Our
only
Captain
Hulk
America
I had.
America had giant wings on a motorcycle helmet.
We had imagination then. I imagined he looked like the comic character when I watched it. It's like, because it's
Spider-Man
sucked.
Shot out clotheslines.
Clothesline Spider-Man.
It was clotheslines.
Clothesline Spider-Man was one of my favorites as a kid, but I knew
I
it sucked.
It all the time.
I would watch it and be like, man, it really sucks. I wish he could do this or that. I wish he'd show him swing on that rope.
I watch Generation One Transformers. And I loved Transformers, watched it every goddamn day. But now when I watch it, I see like all the like miscolors that they fucked up with or somebody's voice coming out of another
overseas
character.
Overseas animation shop.
The overseas animation, you know, you watch G.I. Joe, you know, and it's like there's some things you just can't do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like
it's the same way with like Super Friends, like sometimes Batman's gloves are gone. There's a lot we should just do a whole show on Super Friends, because I'll tell you, whoever was writing that show was probably doing a lot of cocaine or something and knew nothing about any of the characters on the show. The shit that they would do on there, like the Legion of Doom season is season 3 of the Super Friends, and aliens
come. I
want
to do a deep dive on Gunsmoke. Let's do a deep dive on Gunsmoke, man. Let's just binge watch Gunsmoke.
It was kind of boring. There's an alien
race. You
can't
find the first like couple seasons because I think they're still in syndication, so you can't even like stream the first couple seasons. But goddamn, what's his face? Arnez, man, that dude, he was the king of the westerns. He was bigger than John Wayne when it came to westerns. I mean, he did Gunsmoke. Then he did How the West Was Won. That man was all about that man was Western to Western, you know, dead. I'll watch Bonanza. Let's do an entire. Let's just watch Bonanza.
You can do
nothing but Bonanza.
What do you call
and
it?
And Wagon Train. Watch Wagon Train.
Oh, man, what's the one I used to watch on when the hub first came on? And they were playing like old TV shows. They were playing Paladin. Mm-hmm. I'd watch Paladin every day.
Let's watch. You know what? BJ and the Bear. Let's do a full retrospection on BJ and the Bear.
What about what?
Or TJ Hooker.
We're talking. What are you doing over there?
We're talking about TJ Hooker.
Distracting me. I'm just hearing weird voices coming from the other side of the room.
Watching the Heat of the Night. That's what we'll do. We'll watch In the Heat of the Night.
Oh, no way. I hated that show. It's so boring.
We'll watch everything our grandparents
Walker
watched.
Talks a Stranger.
The new not the new Walker, the old Walker.
No.
And then we're going to Renegade. Then we'll go to Renegade.
Yeah,
watch the Renegade.
Lorenzo Lamas, you know, Native American friend.
Thunder in Paradise. We should do a full thing of Thunder in Paradise with Hogan.
Can you even find that? I don't even know where that is.
I will find Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan. I can find it somewhere.
There was a time, a year or two ago, where me and Jess were looking at all the old Hogan movies. Like, we were finding all Hogan's old movies.
Suburban Commando, Hercules with Muscles. I think he was in Three Ninjas, like three.
There's one where it's like a serious kind of act. They were trying to make him like a kind of an action guy. Like, it was almost like a Commando ripoff. But he had hair in it. They like put a wig on him. Like, he had like regular, like red, like combed hair. It was really weird.
Come on, he's been balding since 82.
Yeah, you gotta look up that movie. It's, I don't know, it's in, it gotta
all
be
right,
in
so
his...
let's see here. We have, let's see his filmography. So we got Rocky III, No Holds Barred, which we have talked about before, long ago, it's in the archives. He was in Gremlins 2, The New Batch, Suburban Commando, Mr. Nanny, Thunder in Paradise, which was a direct-to-video. He was in Spy Hard, which was a cameo. Secret Agent Club.
It was one of Santa it's with, a late. It's a later one, like
Santa it's with some... Muscles, Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain, The Ultimate Weapon. There it is, The Ultimate Weapon. With he played Ben Cutter.
Yeah, does he have hair? Does it show his hair in it?
Yeah, he's got hair. Hold on. Hold on, let me see if I can do this here. Give me a second here.
They put a really weird wig on him for that.
Here we go. There we go. The Ultimate Weapon, right there. I don't know if you can see it because I'm sharing my screen. You see it?
Yeah, I can see it. It's really small. I remember that picture. It's that weird, like
the Ultimate Weapon.
It's like a red crew cut or something.
Oh man, that is bad.
It's really watch the movie. It's ridiculous. I mean,
I'm gonna watch that shit.
He made a few of those weird, like there's a couple like serious ones that he made, like action. They're not serious, but they're like action movies. And oh my god, they're horrible. Me and Jess found a whole stash of Hogan movies and we're watching them.
Oh yeah, well there's all the ones. I think they were like so he had Thunder in Paradise, but then he also had like Assault on Devil's Island.
I think I've seen that one.
And then Assault on Death Mountain. Which, oh my motherfuck! Shadow Warriors, Assault on Death Mountain, starring Hulk Hogan and Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Weathers gets around.
He got around and he told us there was he didn't know what to talk about on the show. We could have talked about him and Hogan. I mean,
he might have been embarrassed.
Carl Weathers. Carl Weathers, come on, man! You did things with Ventura. You did things with Hogan. I mean, come on, man! Why didn't you ever just show up in like WCW or something?
Hogan's acting is so worse.
Hogan was in an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, he played himself, didn't he? It was like, didn't he?
No, nope, he was a character named Boomer Knight Division Street.
He was like the coach or something. Like he was like trying to run the rec center or something.
Yep. We need to watch what was it? Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling. That's what we need to watch, because that's got like Hogan, Rodman, Danny Bonaducci, Screech. That's what we need to watch, is Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling. That shit was funny as hell. I'm down like to do, like you said, we'll do an episode on Super Friends. I'm about to do, you know, we'll do a whole episode on just a Hogan freaking thing. Everything Hogan.
I'm telling you, you'll be, if you watch the season 3 of Super Friends, you'll be tearing your hair out of your head by the end of the season. It's so strange.
I hope not. I've gone so long to grow this hair out, man.
Well, what I was saying is aliens come to the Earth, right? And the Legion of Doom, they make contact with the Legion of Doom, but they contact, instead of contacting one of the aliens that already exist on the Legion of Doom, they contact Captain Cold and the Toy Man. They're like, Captain Cold's like, hey, I've been in contact with an alien race. He's like, why didn't they fucking call Sinestro? He's an alien. He's right there. They act like aliens are a big deal. They got like 3 aliens on the council.
Well, it looks like we've got a lot we can talk about over the next couple weeks. So we're going to say goodnight on that one. Tune us in every Wednesday on Spotify, Podbeam, anywhere you get your podcast. We'll be back again next week for a brand new episode. We'll see you next week with Panda.
Bye, everyone.